A couple of weeks ago, Father Jim Martin, the Jesuit editor of America Magazine, posted two pictures next to each other on his Instagram account. And each picture depicted a Catholic standing outside of a prison. He wrote in connection to this post, two ways. Pope Francis visits Regina Caeli prison in Rome, and after spending time with the inmates, blows them kisses, which they return. He said, "Whenever I visit, I ask myself, why them and not me?" The other is Representative Riley Moore, who visited a jail in El Salvador, where many are held without being charged for a crime and some are tortured, and gave a thumbs up out front to their suffering. Which way would Jesus, who is imprisoned during his passion, prefer? In another post, Father Jim says, "The Christian response to suffering is never thumbs up." And all I could think of when I saw these images and read his words was the sentence from the first letter of John. "Those who say, 'I love God and hate another human,' are liars. For those who do not love another whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." And this week, as I read and reread the words of Jesus, "Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." I couldn't help but think about this post. And it doesn't take a theologian or a pastor to be able to recognize which one of those two images are tending well to the sheep. Let's back up for a minute. Here we are in the final gospel, the final chapter of the Gospel of John. And Jesus has been resurrected and things have come back around, full circle. Peter and some disciples have gone fishing. And from the boat, they hear someone calling to them from the beach, and they don't recognize who it is. But the man on the beach tells them to toss their net over the right side of the boat. So they do as he suggests, and they haul in 153 fish. It's more than the net should ever be able to hold, but it doesn't break. And it's far more than these few people could ever eat. And even though at this point the resurrected Jesus has appeared to his disciples twice, there is only one who realizes who he is. And by the time they get to the shore, Jesus is at a fire, grilling fish and bread. He breaks the bread, and he shares the fish with them. He provides for them. He feeds them. We are told that Jesus had made a charcoal fire, very specifically. It's an odd little detail right there. Not for Peter, though. He would see it and get it in an instant. The charcoal fire for him would carry shame. It would carry regret because it was around a charcoal fire that he denied Jesus three times. And perhaps in that moment, Peter remembered how at the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples, "I am with you only a little longer." To which Peter said, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." which point Jesus looks at him and answers, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." And Jesus is right. Peter denies knowing Jesus, of following Jesus, of loving Jesus three times. But this is good news. Redemption is part of resurrection. And so after breakfast, Jesus has Peter alone. Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And each time, Peter quickly replies, "You know that I love you." Now, here, some scholars think that we miss something with our English translations. The first two times that Jesus asks Peter if he loves him, Jesus is using the Greek word agape. And in Greek, this is the highest form of love. It is a sacrificial love. It's a self-emptying love. It's the kind of love that God has for humanity. The kind of love that led Jesus to declare, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And yet, when Peter replies, he can't reciprocate such a lofty level of love. He uses the Greek word philo, which is most closely translated affection. It's more like than it is love. We don't know, because we're not inside Peter's brain, we don't know why he can't bring himself to say it. Perhaps he thinks that Jesus is angry because of these denials. Perhaps he just simply doesn't think that he could ever live into the kind of action that Jesus had just done. Whatever the reason, though, they go back and forth like this twice. But when Jesus asks the question the final time, he switches up his terms. And he also uses a form of philo. It's at this point that Peter is described as being hurt by Jesus' questioning. What Peter doesn't seem to understand is that for each time he told someone after Jesus' arrest that he wasn't one of Jesus' disciples, it was tantamount to him saying, "Jesus, I don't love you." Jesus is giving him a second chance. Jesus is helping to make right what Peter did wrong. Jesus and Peter are finally able to speak the same kind of love. Simultaneously, Jesus has undone Peter's prior denials of him and has also met the imperfect Peter right where he is. Peter is unable to declare agape in this moment, but he gets there eventually. And then, as if reminding Peter of that previous conversation, "I can imagine, where am I going? You cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." And now is that time. Jesus tells him, "Follow me." Jesus alludes to it, and tradition tells us that Peter went on to accept martyrdom for his faith in Jesus, which is such a visible example of agape. Peter will lay down his life. Now, obviously, not all Christians are called to be martyrs. And for that, we say, thank you, God. That part was just for Peter. But the first part, the part about the lambs and the sheep, that's for all of us. Those who say, "I love God and hate another human," are liars. For those who do not love another whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. We are all the lambs. And if we love God, heck, even if we only like God, we will care for each other. And like Peter, we won't always get it right. We may get it very, very wrong, like posing for a thumbs up in front of the suffering of others. But Jesus offers us redemption too. We can always change. We can always repent. We can love one another better, and in doing so, we love God better. Do you love God? It's time to feed the lambs. Do you love God? It's time to tend the sheep. Do you love God? It is time to feed the sheep. Do you love God?